And there are going to be times when you're going to say, I forgive them, Lord, help me to forgive them. I forgive them. I feel free of this. I feel free of this. And you're going to walk into a certain place and you're going to see a certain face, and all that unforgiveness is going to come flying right back at you. Good. Because it's a chance to forgive them again.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, July 26, 2026. Pastor Jeff is speaking. Today's message is entitled, It's For You, The Liberating Power of Forgiveness. And our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. And now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, everyone. What a pleasure it is to be in God's house today. Lord, I ask that you speak in this time. This is what you have for me. This is what you have for your people. Lord, I'm speaking from experience and living this. I too know how difficult it can be. So prepare our hearts today. Speak to us. Transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, what I'd like to talk about, I want to talk about that extra weight that you're carrying around. And no, I'm not trying to sell you a gym membership. I'm not trying to give you a diet plan. I'm not trying to tell you that you're fat. Okay? The extra weight that we're carrying around that I want us to focus on today is spiritual. You see, we get to live in this space that God gives us. And you guys have heard me say this recently about how in the Old Testament, when Moses says, who are you? God says, I am. He doesn't say, I was or I will be. He says, I am. And then I pointed out the fact that in the New Testament, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. It is not past tense nor future tense. It is present tense. It is in this moment. God and us exist not in a past of disobedience and not in a future of obedience, because we're not there yet. We cannot go into the past to be obedient to God. That time has come and gone. And we cannot go into the future to be obedient to God yet. But in this moment, in the present, we sit with the I am. And his grace that is new every morning, his grace is new in this moment, in this present tense. In this moment, I get to live in the space of grace. You get to live in the space of grace. And it is the most beautiful thing we have in our lives. Grace is a gift from a just God. So often we get told about a God who's merciful and graceful, and all he wants to do is forgive you. And we get a false narrative of a God who's a teddy bear who just wants to love you and just say, oh, it's okay. Oh, your sin? Don't worry about it, mijo, I got it. That's not the way that works. Because when we sit too much and just focus on the fact that God is merciful and God is gracious, we forget that God is just and God is holy. Therefore, we must understand that the grace that we get to walk in right now in this moment had a huge cost. God did not just turn a blind eye to sin. A just God required payment. And we understand that the penalty and the wages of sin is death. And yet God, who is not just and holy, is also the justifier of us. And for us to be able to walk in this grace and live in this mercy that God gives us, someone had to pay the bill, and that was his son, Jesus. And that blood that was shed for us, we cannot take it in vain. We cannot abuse it. I'm glad you're here today, Ray, because Ray used to talk about his Visa grace card, right? That you don't just get to charge it to grace. That's not the way this grace thing works. God has called us to live a life that is holy because he is holy, because he is a just God. A price had to be paid for me, for you. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Is the blood of Jesus that was shed enough for you to be covered in God's grace? Amen. Who said that? Say it louder. Amen. Right? Is the blood of God enough for all of your sins? When you think of the cross, do you just think of a crucifix and you see a Jesus hanging there? Do you think of an empty cross? My God's not on that cross anymore. He's risen. No, no, no. What I want you to think about, not to shame you, but what I want you to think about is that when Jesus went up to that cross and he was getting nailed to that cross, he took every one of your sins with him. He took every time you have sinned against the Lord, every time you'd sinned against a brother or a sister or whoever in this life, Jesus took all of that to the cross and nailed it to the cross so that we could live in grace, so that we could live in victory, so that we could be made righteous again. Something we couldn't do. Something a just God couldn't just ignore. Something had to be done, and that's what was done. God, in his goodness, sent his son. And so I ask again, is it enough to cover the wrong things you've done? Is it enough to cover the people you have wronged? Because let's not kid ourselves, we've all wronged somebody. Is it enough? Well, yes, it is. And if it's enough for you, then it's got to be enough for others. Maybe you see it already. Maybe you see where we're going with this. Maybe not. But today we're going to be talking about forgiveness. And I'm not talking about your forgiveness, because we just declared that the cross has all your sins on it. Jesus took them there, and he's given you that grace. He's given you that mercy. He has cleansed your life. And yet we walk around with the extra weight of unforgiveness in our life. How dare we? How dare we walk in this mercy and this grace that God gives us and yet hate on our brother or our sister or whoever? Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's your loud neighbor. Somebody took your innocence. You'll never get it back. Somebody stole from you. You'll never get it back. Somebody may have destroyed your marriage. Somebody may have hurt you. Somebody may have done all of these things. And here you are walking around living in a cage of unforgiveness. Your identity is getting wrapped up in unforgiveness and hate for people who have done things to you. And some of those people don't even know they've done it. And you're waiting and waiting and waiting for them to come forgive you. And yet what you're doing is you're walking around with all this extra spiritual garbage and weight on top of you. Paul writes in Galatians that we have been set free from sin, not to sin. God is saying, I want you to forgive because you need to live in that freedom, not in the cage of unforgiveness. Some of you have been warming yourself by the fire of unforgiveness for so long that you're afraid to forgive others because you're afraid you're going to be cold. Well, on a hot day like today, you're all happy it's nice and cool in here, right? So let's extinguish that fire. You see, forgiveness isn't just an option. Forgiveness is a divine command and a pathway to freedom. Do you hear me, church? It's a pathway to freedom. It gives us a chance to mirror the grace that God gave us to a world that doesn't know him yet. To people who know him and proclaim that they know him but don't live like it. The freedom that we have when we can surrender the weight of unforgiveness is something that we must, as people of God, lean into. You see, because unforgiveness is an emotional and spiritual burden on your own individual life, on your families, on your communities, in your workplaces. Holding on to bitterness can affect us in such a negative way. Oh, he did me wrong. She did me wrong. My money, my time. Well, if you're not careful, your whole identity will be wrapped in that. And we can't be wrapped up in an identity of unforgiveness when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus that is grace and mercy to those who didn't deserve it. That's us. So in order for us to understand this a little better, what I want us to talk about today is what forgiveness first. We're going to talk about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. So often you hear, oh, forgive and forget, forgive and forget. When you forgive and forget, first, you don't learn the lesson, and second, you let people back in to hurt you again. We have to be mature people in our walk with Jesus to understand the hurt. Well, they didn't ask me forgiveness. While we were yet sinners, God sent his son. Okay? So it's not a lack of wisdom. It's not forgetting. Forgiveness doesn't erase the memory of something wrong done to us. I want you to think about a courtroom. There's a man on trial for murder. And the family of the person who was murdered is sitting there. He's found guilty in a court of law, and he's about to face sentencing. And the judge gives the family an opportunity to say something. And sometimes family members will get up there and say, I will never forgive you, and I hope you rot in that jail cell, and blah, 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 blah. And those people will live their whole life carrying that around. And yet there are times that a family will come in and be like, you took my most precious possession, but I forgive you. I forgive you. But you see, that forgiveness that we can extend to people, it doesn't erase the offense. It doesn't condone or excuse what was done. In the court of law, this murderer will still stand before the judge, be sentenced, and serve that sentence. But we are free of carrying that around with us. Or if you want to be a sourpuss, bitter person, you can carry it around your whole life. And you'll find that people don't really like being around you, and you'll wonder why. It's because of that unforgiving spirit that you're walking in, which is the complete opposite of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that lives and works in you, that brought you peace, that brings grace into our life, that allows us to walk in victory. And yet, sometimes we're unwilling to extend it. Why? Well, David, as we sang that song earlier, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Psalms 53, 1 through 3 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. It starts here, and then it extends to the world around you.
Yeah, but until that person says they're sorry, I'm never going to forgive them.
Man, are you going to walk around a bitter person in unforgiveness for so, so long? Because it's not forgetting. It's not excusing or condoning. Just because we forgive somebody doesn't mean that the wrong was right. It doesn't mean that there are no consequences. Joseph, think of Joseph. His brothers sell him into slavery, lie to his father, tell him he was mauled by an animal. And yet later on in life, the opportunity comes and Joseph forgives. We need to find those opportunities to forgive. It's not forgetting, it's not excusing or condoning, and it's not reconciliation. Doesn't mean that everything's okay. I've said this to many of you. Forgiveness is not lack of wisdom. You can forgive somebody and love them through forgiveness and grace and put them way over there in your life. And the reason we do that is because when we forgive others, it's not for them. It's for me. It's for you. It's so that we can begin the process of healing. You cannot heal from the wrongs that were done to you if you're living in unforgiveness. Now, reconciliation requires that both parties engage to rebuild. And sometimes when we're working on reconciliation, it's one-sided. And that's why we forgive, but using God's wisdom and say, I forgive you because I don't want to carry around the weight of the hurt you've done to me, but I can't have you in my life. We have to forgive debt. Forgiveness, reconciliation. Forgiveness is a personal decision to release debt. But unless two parties are willing to work together, you're on your own forgiving them, and that's okay. Someday they may come to you and say, please forgive me. They may not. And we have to work through that in life. Some people don't even know they've hurt you. I've been in this church long enough to recognize that there have been families in this church. They're not here anymore, but there were families in this church that hated each other. And it was all because one person didn't say hello to one person 20 years ago. And they never let go of it. And they passed on that grudge from generation to generation. And it's a shame. Because that's not who we are. That's not who we're called to be. That's not who Jesus is. That's not what he wants from us. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers an offense seeks love, but whoever repeats a matter separates friends. The word is very clear. You can love, you can forget. Well, you can love and forgive and then remove so that you can be free. Forgiveness allows us to be free of carrying the weight of the wrongs that were done to us. I mean, there was a student in our program some years ago, and over and over and over again, she would talk about this bad thing that happened in her life. Well, you have to remember that I was a victim. You have to remember that I was a victim. You have to, well, I see what you mean, Professor, but you have to remember that I was a victim. At one point I said, are you being victimized right now? Because your whole identity is wrapped up in that moment of your life, and it's not going on anymore. So I ask you today, what's going on in your life? Are you ready to release debt? Releasing a debt is choosing not to hold someone accountable for the wrong they've done to you. Back in the courtroom, the judge will sentence the murderer, and the murderer will serve his time. But you are free. The same way we say, you know what, God, this person hurt me. They're not asking for forgiveness. They don't recognize it. I get it. I understand, Lord. I want to forgive them. I'm going to forgive them every time I see them again and again and again because I know you got it. Let God deal with it. Be free. How many of you want to be free today? Be free. In the parable in Matthew 18, and we're going to read this whole parable real quick together because I want to put some context here for you on what we're talking about. This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. Matthew 18, 21, and it starts like this. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and that the payment be made. The servant therefore fell before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. The master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Praise God for that, right? That's like us. We owe God millions worth of sin, millions of wages for all the wrong we've done in our life. And God says, I'm moved with compassion. I'll send my son, he'll pay the debt. And we get to walk in that. Praise God, right? Here's the human problem. Verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100. And he laid hands on him. Men of power, we joke about this, right? Sometimes you got to lay hands on a brother, right? But that's what this guy did, and this was the wrong reason to do so. He laid hands on him. Pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. They came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave all the debt that you had because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant? Just as I had pity on you. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So, now Jesus in quotes here says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you, my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. That's the word of the Lord. Did you catch it? God says, I forgive you. And you say, thank you, because I don't deserve it. And then you go hold somebody accountable for something way less and you treat them like you're God, and you're not. And God shows up and says, stop it. Because when we abuse the grace that God gives us, and we walk in victory, and we have peace, and yet we steal it from other people or don't extend it to others, we're no better than the wicked servant. And the last thing I think any of us would want us to hear is the Lord say, wicked servant. I'm praying and living so that I can hear, welcome home, good and faithful servant, not wicked servant. And so when we look at this parable and we see what Jesus is teaching us, he's saying, if the master has grace and mercy on you, then you need to have grace and mercy on others. It trickles down. It's us being Christ-like. It's us going that way. You see, forgiveness, it's not just releasing others from their debt. It's a command from God. Jesus and the apostles clearly instruct us to forgive. There's no question about it. In Matthew 6, guys, we were in the Lord's Prayer this last week, right? For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. The word's very clear. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a complaint against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. John chapter 20. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins, they are retained. We are to live how God calls us to live. Now, I don't want you to forgive people because you're trying to not lose your forgiveness, right? This is a process. And there are going to be times when you're going to say, I forgive them, Lord, help me to forgive them. I forgive them. I feel free of this. I feel free of this. And you're going to walk into a certain place and you're going to see a certain face and all that unforgiveness is going to come flying right back at you. Good. Because it's a chance to forgive them again. And again. And again. Remember what we've learned, right? Forgiveness isn't lack of wisdom. This isn't about letting them in and letting them continually hurt you. This is about surrendering the debt to God and letting God deal with it and not carrying around the extra weight of unforgiveness. So I see them, I forgive them. I see them again, I have to forgive them again. And I have to forgive them again. And then eventually God works in us. And the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we get stronger and stronger at extending grace the way God did for you. The way God did for you, so you can do it for them. And they may never, ever, ever come to you and say, I'm so sorry. But if they do, oh, I forgave you for that years ago. I haven't thought of that in years. Really? Really? How? Because I've forgiven you about a billion times. Every time I've seen you for the last decade, I've had to forgive you, but now I'm free of it. If that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. Because it's for you. It's so that you can be free. It's a command from God. It's a heart issue. It's about understanding the grace that you walk in, the mercy that you received, and the opportunity to give it to others. It's like living like Jesus. It's a chance for us to imitate God. To imitate and share the forgiveness he gave us, we get to give to others, right? Ephesians says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. John 1 John 4 says, and you also must love one another, for God loved us first. Now, some of you might be thinking, I would love to forgive, but it's just too hard. You don't understand the hurt. You don't understand the pain. They did me dirty. They did me wrong. They destroyed my marriage. They hurt my children. They hurt me. Whatever it may be, you can give that to God, and you can show the world through your imitation of Christ, through your living a life like Christ, that you can love others whether they have asked for it or not. And if you can't do it on your own strength, I understand. Because sometimes I have to lean into God big time to be able to forgive some of you. You see, the source of our power and our forgiveness, it ain't me. And it's not you. The source of the power that we have inside us to actually forgive, that supersedes our human nature, that supersedes the pain and the wounds that we carry, it's because the power to forgive comes from the source. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not something we can achieve on our own strength. Galatians, Paul writes in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these fruits are essential when we need to forgive somebody. Oh, I hate that guy. Why? He did me. And I've heard y'all. I've said it myself. When I prayed and we started, full transparency, I go through this process over and over and over again. And there are people that I've learned to forgive over and over and over again. And just like I didn't deserve it, they don't deserve it. I don't know who's giggling, but I'm with you, right? But God calls us to forgive one another. Not until they ask, Pastor, did you ask God to send his son? Did you go up to heaven? You got a bat phone, a red phone that rings the throne of heaven? Yo, God, maybe you should send your son. Romans is very clear. While we were yet sinners, God sent his son to die for you. And we walk in this and are unable to forgive others? You know, some of the people that I've had to forgive in my life over and over and over and over, they've never changed. But praise God, I have. I can look at them and not carry the offense. They let me down. They were a bad father. They were a bad mother. They were a bad brother. They were a bad sister. Let me ask you this. Have I let you down? And da-da-da. Let me just be 100% honest with you. If I haven't, give me time. Because I am not God. And at some point, I will let you down. And it may not be on purpose, or maybe, I don't know. Right? We'll figure that one out when we get to it. But what I'm telling you is that I need the power of the Holy Spirit. He empowers me to forgive because I lean into who God is, not who Jeff is. Because God is love, and love is patient. Love is kind. Love is slow to anger. The source of our forgiveness comes from a demonstration of God who shows us the highest form of love we could ever imagine. And the highest form of love is this: forgiveness. When you don't forgive, you walk around in this life obese with extra spiritual weight that you should not be carrying. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of sacrifice of our will, our pain, our desire, my hurt. Jesus took that to the cross and nailed it to the cross. So I ask again, is the blood of Jesus enough to cover your sins? Then it's enough to cover the sins of those who have hurt you. There's no way around that. It's rooted. Forgiveness is rooted in Christ's sacrifice. On the cross, he hung there. And he said what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There are people in your life that you're holding accountable for something that they did to you that they don't even know what they did. And yet you warm yourself by that fire. Put that fire out. You have the key in your pocket to the cage, the prison of your own making, that is built with walls of unforgiveness. I gotta guard myself. No, you've locked yourself up. You're the warden of your own prison right now. and you're in there banging your head on the cages because you're angry at somebody for putting you there, look in the mirror. We put ourselves there so often, church. And look, I'm not talking at you. I'm not putting you down. I could have a mirror right here and be receiving this and saying all of these same words. This is what God has for his people today. The ultimate act of Christ's sacrifice, it is the ultimate act of forgiveness. And we see that on the cross. There's a blessing that comes when we forgive. Some people, nobody in this room right now, but some people, they need freedom from the bitterness and resentment that you carry around because of a heart of unforgiveness. You're mad at somebody from so long ago who doesn't even remember you're alive. And yet all that energy that you waste, all that time you could spend in God's word growing closer to him, all that time you could spend in prayer and in community with the body of Christ growing and walking in victory and living in the peace and grace that comes from Jesus, and yet we're miserable because we won't forgive those who have hurt us. There's freedom from bitterness and resentment. We are liberated from the prisons of our own hurt. Forgiveness allows us to have the potential to restore relationships. The potential for both parties to get to that place. And that's the moment when you've been forgiven. Maybe for years you've been forgiven someone who never asked. And when they finally come and say, I'm sorry, you just easily, like nothing, say, I forgave you years ago. I haven't been carrying that around. Have you been carrying that around? Let me set you free from it again and tell you I forgive you. As opposed to, well, it's about time you said thing. When you can learn to forgive others. Now remember, forgiving doesn't mean there are no consequences to what they did. Forgiving doesn't mean that they're not going to stand before, whether it's the court of man or God's throne. They will be held accountable for it, but not by us. By the appropriate authority will hold them accountable. And the idea is that we get to experience God's forgiveness for us and how it must be for God when we're able to forgive others who haven't asked for it, who can't earn it, who don't deserve it, and we realize that's us. That's me. Forgiveness also allows for spiritual growth and maturity in our walk. Forgiving others is a hallmark of a Christ-like life, and that's what we're called to. A life as students, as disciples of Jesus, to be more like him every single day. So I ask you again, church, is the blood of Jesus enough? Is the blood of Jesus enough for you? Then it's enough for those who have hurt you. I need to ask you today, church, to embrace this call to forgiveness. I know most of you really well. And I know you're walking in the grace and the mercy of God. I do. But I don't know about the people in your life that you're not allowing to walk in that same grace and mercy coming from you. And I ask that you search your heart. And I ask that you ask God to help you. And you tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to surrender your unforgiving spirit. Choose to forgive even when it's difficult. You know, they say that the wrong thing to do is usually very easy, and the right thing is very difficult. And I understand that this might be difficult for some of us. At times, it's difficult for me. But I have to surrender these things to God. And I'm asking you today, actively choose forgiveness. Even if it's difficult, choose forgiveness and lean into the strength that God gives you. Look at your life, reflect, identify areas where you need to be more forgiving. Identify the people that you're angry with and begin to forgive them for whatever it is. And when that's hard, ask God to help you forgive them again and again and again. Now, this doesn't mean that they're forgiven, right? Just because the family in the courtroom said, we forgive this person who murdered our family member. It's not reconciliation, it's freedom. And what God wants for us is to be free. Free from sin, free from unforgiveness, walking in victory, mercy, and grace. And extending that same mercy and grace to others. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Because we lean into you, Lord, and we know the work that you did on your cross. Help us to understand that while we receive that grace, that mercy, that forgiveness, that victory, Lord, while we receive it individually, Lord, help us to grow in it so that we can extend it to a world that needs it just as bad as we did, maybe even more. Help us to examine our hearts and our lives and take us to a space where we can surrender the hurts of the past, be healed, and extend grace the way you gave it to us. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the price that was paid for me. Lord, forgive me for any time that your blood was not enough to cover those who wronged me. I thank you for the freedom that you give us when we are able to forgive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This one's gonna get you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be my heart, oh God.
It's a hard message. Come on. It's a hard message. But it's learning to walk with Jesus. It's what is known as kingdom living. When we come to the Lord and He kind of like tells us off. He says, I know what's going on in your life. Gosh, being hurt by people? 3 times in my life, 3 things happened. It was really rough. I had to forgive somebody that I didn't want to. Of course, that's not your experience. It took me 8 months before I could get them out of my system. That's tough. But you have to let the Holy Spirit work it. You can't fake it. You can't massage it yourself. Is living with the Lord and having His presence change you into the image of Jesus. So this is supernatural work in your heart and in my heart. And we need to do that for the glory of God. Amen? Are you sure? So let me give you this text for you to keep in your heart. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen? Amen. 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 All right, church, this is the day
that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad.
So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. That the Lord will lift up His face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. Walk away with a heart that's forgiving.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bb4square.org. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, check out the live stream here on YouTube. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.